Welcome to the Salem Alliance Church Podcast. To learn more about Salem Alliance, including life groups, gathering times, and other resources, visit us online at salemalliance.org. Today's talk is given by Ashley Dalen.
Good morning, family. Good morning, live stream.
Good morning, Ashley.
Hey, I love that. However you came into this place today, whether you came in joyful, tearful, anxious, at peace, feet dragging, feet skipping, maybe you're at home today because you just couldn't get here today. And I just want to say, we're so glad you're here. We're so glad you're where you are and that God is with you and that we love all of you just as you are here today. And so welcome. We're so glad that we get to be together as a church family this morning. I want to take a moment to celebrate that we have a rose on the platform. Roses here signify new life in Jesus Christ. And I want to celebrate Journey, who pounded his ribbon into the cross last weekend. So let's take a moment for that. If you don't know me, my name is Ash. I'm the pastor of Neighborhood Ministries here. I get the incredible privilege of overseeing the ministries you see on the screen behind me. And I just want to encourage you that there is so much that our family is doing to bring peace to our city. And that if you've got time, check out our neighborhood's webpage, see what's going on, and maybe join us. We'd love for you to be a part of how we are just bringing the peace of Christ into our city. But today I'm here on week 3 of our Reach series. And I'm asking us the question, what did Jesus mean when he said, go and make disciples? In Matthew 28, 19 through 20, Jesus commanded his followers and those to come with this. He said, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Rob talked about it last week. It's the Great Commission. And oftentimes we talk about the Great Commission when we are sending people to the nations, like Mickey and Carly, who we got to commission last week, who are going to the nations. But what about me? What about us? What about me, who no matter how hard I try, every time I brush my teeth, I cannot manage to keep all the toothpaste in my mouth. It's like inevitably there's this little bit that escapes the ranks, starts going down towards my chin. And as I wipe it off my chin before it goes to the bath mat, I just think to myself, am I really the person qualified for something called the Great Commission? Like, what about me? What is Jesus inviting us into? Today I want to introduce you to 5 people: Peter, John, Rudy, Ed, and Angie, who I think together will give us a starting point and an imagination for how this call invites even us, the toothpaste dribblers, into the Great Commission. So first, let's venture back 2,000 years to our first 2 guys, Peter and John, who are asking this same question. What does it mean to go and make disciples? So if you grab out your Bibles, we're going to be in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. And while you're turning there, I'll just bring you up to speed on Peter and John. Peter and John are 2 of the 12 disciples who physically got to follow Jesus, hear his teachings, see his miracles. We call them the apostles. They got to learn from Jesus himself. They saw Jesus die. They saw Jesus resurrect. They heard the Great Commission. They saw Jesus ascend into heaven. They went to Jerusalem and waited for Holy Spirit. They received Holy Spirit. They participated in the birth of the church. And now they're asking the question, now what? And that's where we pick up the story in Acts chapter 3. So Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. This is the word of the Lord. Let's dig into this. It starts with Peter and John, and they're going to the temple to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. We see that despite all that's happened, Peter and John are still going about their regular rhythm and routine. 3 o'clock, time for public prayer at the temple. Even though Jesus said that he would replace the temple, his disciples don't immediately disengage from that rhythm and routine and from that community. They want the Jews there to know about Jesus. And so they go to the temple, a place they've gone many times before, to do an activity they've done many times before, to be with people that they know. And what they are doing here is just your average Wednesday for Peter and for John. It then says they approach the temple, and a lame man from birth is being carried in and set beside the temple gate beautiful to beg for money. We have this moment where John, Peter, and the lame man all find themselves at the same gate at the same time. The scripture clearly says that the lame man is set beside this gate called Beautiful. And so, y'all, I did so much research on this gate so that I'd be prepared for you. What direction does it face? How does it enter? What is it made of? All the things. And there's so many thoughts on this gate, let me tell you. But here's the conclusion I came to after looking at this gate. This man was laid by this gate because it was his best shot at getting his needs met. That's why he's at this gate. And it leads me to ask this question. What are the gates that we pass through in our daily lives? And more importantly, who are the people at those gates? What are the gates that we pass through in our daily lives? And more importantly, who are the people at those gates? One of the gates that I go through in my regular rhythm and routine is the Minto Brown Dog Park. Anybody else? Yes, I am there Monday through Friday with Prudence, my dog. You will see me. Everyone probably knows me as the person who's always wearing a very thick, long black coat, always cold. That's one of the gates I go through regularly. I asked Brian Candela, what's one of the gates you go through regularly? He said, Trader Joe's. We all have different gates. What are the gates that you go through regularly in your everyday rhythm and routine? In Matthew 28, the Greek word used for go in the Great Commission can also mean to walk, to go, to depart, or to journey. And some translations translate this verse to say, as you go, or wherever you go, make disciples. As you go about your daily commitments and responsibilities, grocery shopping, playing pickleball, going to the laundromat, as you go through the gates in your daily rhythm, bring my kingdom of restoration. Bring my presence, my peace, and my power to the people in those places. What did Jesus mean when he said, go and make disciples? I believe a piece of it has to be this. As you go, as you journey about your day, bring my tangible peace, presence, and power to those at the gates. So Peter, John, and the lame man find themselves at the same gate at the same time, and he asks them for money, and Peter and John stop. And we can't miss that. They stop. This is their everyday rhythm, routine. They've got places to be. And they are interruptible. And they stop. And they turn and they lean in to the lame man. Shauna Pilgreen, in her book, Translating Jesus, has this quote that I love. She says this, "It's not up to us to know, it's up to us to say hello." The lame man makes the hello so easy for them because did you catch it? He asks them. He asks them. He, the man at the gate, asks them, men filled with Holy Spirit. Don't miss it. He asks them. Social science tells us that people ask questions for two reasons. One being for help, the other being as a form of connection. He asked them. As we go about our daily rhythms and routines, when somebody asks you a question, alarm bells should be going off in your head, like discount in aisle 5, blue light special, like this person is looking for help or connection, and we have an open door to bring them the peace and the presence and the power of Christ, to connect them to the person of Jesus. Do not miss it. He asked them. 2 weeks ago, I was at the Feed Salem building. I was getting it prepared with some of our volunteers for our distribution the next day. And I'm unloading pallets of canned green beans when this gentleman walks up, and he's a shorter gentleman, and he's got his beanie, and it's really low, almost over his eyes. And he comes up to me, and he has two backpacks on, and he's carrying a reusable grocery bags on his arm, filled to the brim, and he has a tool bag. So he's got a lot going on. And he comes up to me and he kind of mumbles something in my direction. And I say, "I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Can you tell me that a little louder?" He says, "My name is Rudy." I say, "Hey, Rudy, nice to meet you. My name's Ash." He asks me three questions. I'm leaning in. First question is this. He tells me he's just arrived from Fresno and he's worked in construction his whole life. He's got his tool bag. Do I know where he can get a job? Question number two, he says, "I've been staying on the streets because I don't really know where to go. Do you know where I can go?" Question number three, he looks in our open warehouse. He sees the carts that our guests use to shop when they come on distribution days. He says, "Can I have one of those carts to put my stuff in?" I go, "Okay, Rudy. I got you, brother. Hold on." So I run into the warehouse. I come out and I bring this. It's our Salem Alliance Church and Community Resource Brochure. I said, "Rudy, here we go. Question number one, boom, employment network. Here it is. You're going to call them. Let's see what they got that can connect you to construction." Question one, done. Question two, "All right, brother, on this page, we got UGM. UGM's down the street. You're going to hang a left. You're going to run into it. I want you to go down there. I want you to get a warm meal. I want you to talk to one of their caseworkers. And I want you to stay there tonight. You'll be safe." Question number three. "Rudy, those carts cost me like $50 a pop, y'all. And I get asked like every week if someone can have a cart." I said, "Rudy, you can't have one of my carts. But can I pray for you?" He says, "Sure." So in the parking lot out here, I put my hand on him and I'm praying the peace of God over him and the presence of God over him and blessing and favor over him. And I end the prayer and Holy Spirit calls an audible and says, "Give him the cart." I'm like, "You gonna reimburse it?" So I go in the warehouse, I get the cart and I bring it out and I say, "Rudy, God wants to bless you. God sees you. He loves you. Here's a cart." I help Rudy put his five bags in the cart. And I say, "Rudy, we're going to be open tomorrow, giving out some food. If you need some food, come back. I'd love to see you." And off the street he goes. The next day, it's the Feed Salem distribution. I'm in there. It's fun chaos as usual. We're feeding people. We're praying for people. Ministry's happening. And I see this guy come in, and he's tall, and he's like cleanly showered, and he is beaming from ear to ear, and he's making like really intense direct eye contact with me, and he's like bounding towards me, and he's just smiling, and he's like coming, and he's coming, and I'm like, "Who is this? Who is walking towards me?" Because I can tell he knows me, and I better figure it out in the next 3 seconds. And Holy Spirit goes, "It's Rudy." And I'm like, "No, it's not." And I go, "Rudy?" And he's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "No way." You guys, he comes up. He's telling me all this stuff. I don't even remember what he told me. I'm going to be honest. The whole time I'm thinking, this is not the same guy. This is not the same guy I talked to yesterday. This person is completely different. This person has experienced the peace and the presence and the power of Christ, and something has changed about Rudy. What did Jesus mean when he said, go and make disciples? As you go, as you journey about your day, bring my tangible peace, presence, and power to those at the gates. Peter and John get it. They stop dead in their tracks. They've been asked a question, and they've been given an opening. And so they turn and they dignify this man with their full presence. Now, this man thinks he knows what he needs, which is money. And he probably does. But Peter and John, empowered by Holy Spirit, read Acts chapter 2, are, I'm guessing, having this inner conversation with Jesus, saying, or with the Holy Spirit, saying, what do you want to do here? How do you want to lift this man up? What do you want to do in this moment? How do you want to show him your power and your care and your heart? Peter and John don't have a formula for this, but they did have a front row seat to watch how Jesus did it. And they followed Jesus and they watched how Jesus brought restoration to people from city to city as Jesus listened to the guidance of Holy Spirit and the will of the Father. And they saw that Jesus did it in so many different ways, through words, through touch, through spit and mud, through, hey, go wash yourself in that weird river over there. And so they know that Holy Spirit calls audibles, that Holy Spirit is like a coach on the sidelines calling the audible into the helmet of his quarterback. And so they're listening. What do you want to do here with this man? What's the audible? It's not up to us to know how the story is going to go, but it is up to us to listen for the audible. So the lame man is looking at them, waiting for what he assumes will be money. But Peter gets the audible and says this, I don't have money for you, but I will give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. Peter gets the audible. Peter trusts the audible. Peter obeys the audible. And Peter walks through the open door, believing that what God wants to do in this moment is bring full physical restoration to this man and transform his life in a way that this man would never even imagine to ask for. Peter is trusting that the same power he saw Jesus operate is in him. This moment is the first apostolic miracle we see post-resurrection, and it's the first of 14 miracles that we get in the book of Acts. And all 14 miracles that we see this ragtag group of disciples do are all copycats of what we see Jesus do in the Gospels. Now, you might be thinking of the things that you've seen Jesus do in the Gospels, like raise people from the dead and cast out demons and silent storms. And you might be thinking, do I really need that much power? That seems like a lot. I'm okay with like miniature Holy Spirit, you know? I'm a little bit more comfortable with something mini, like a mini pony or a mini Cooper or a mini Kit Kat. Also known as fun size. I think fun size Holy Spirit is something I'm a little bit more comfortable with. But in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit falls on those in the upper room, there is no mini. There is no fun size Holy Spirit. There is just full size Holy Spirit that falls upon them. If you are in this room and you have taken the crown off of your head and you've laid it at the feet of Jesus in full love and allegiance to him to follow his ways and the will of the Father, then you have been given full Holy Spirit. The Father does not take dosage requests. You've been given it all, my friends. Peter believes that God is going to do what Holy Spirit has spoken. And so he takes the man by the hand and helps him up. And he says, as he does that, the man's feet and ankles are instantly healed and strengthened. When restoration and healing happens, families, neighbors, our city, the valley is strengthened. A month ago, one of our Furniture Bank lead coordinators, Ed, found himself at a donor's house and realized he'd made a really big mistake. He'd forgotten to ask if the couch they were donating was a hide-a-bed. Y'all ever tried to move a hide-a-bed? And he realizes that's the situation. So he turns to the donor and he says, "I'm so sorry, but we actually don't take hide-a-beds." And they were totally gracious. He goes to leave and Holy Spirit calls the audible and says, "You're taking that hide-a-bed." And he looks back and he's like, "Really?" And the Holy Spirit's like, "Yeah." So him and Jerry go back. They say, "Just kidding. We will take the hide-a-bed." They were delighted. And they kill themselves getting it into the truck. And they think, "Oh, do we really want to take this?" 3 days later, Ed gets a phone call from a single mama with three kiddos. And what do you guess she needs? A hide-a-bed. Of course. Ed goes, "Great, I did hear right. We got a hide-a-bed, can't wait to bring it to you." So he brings it to them, and the mama's in a hurry. She needs to get out the door. She has somewhere to be. But Ed, listening to Holy Spirit, said, "Can I just tell you the story of this hide-a-bed?" She said, "Sure, make it quick." He tells her the story. She says, "I have one question for you. When did you pick up that hide-a-bed?" He says, "We picked it up on Thursday morning." And she just starts sobbing. She says, "Wednesday night, I have a mentor who's a Christian. And my mentor was at my house, and my mentor said, 'God hears our cries, and God answers our prayers.' And so we prayed on Wednesday night that God would provide a hide-a-bed for me and my three kids." She said, "I now know that God does hear our cries. And I know that I am going to be okay and God is going to watch after me and my three kids." For Peter, the peace, the presence, the power of Christ flowed through physical healing. For Ed, the peace and the power and the presence of Christ flowed through physical provision. But both the lame man and the mama were strengthened because Peter and Ed listened. What did Jesus mean when he said, "Go and make disciples"? As you go, as you journey about your day, bring my tangible peace, presence, and power to those at the gates. But the Acts 3 story doesn't end here. The lame man jumps up, he stands on his feet, and he begins to walk. He's walking, leaping, praising God. He's not only physically restored, but he's socially restored. He gets to go through the gate and go into the temple, and he is leaping and he is praising God. And they're all going, "Is that the same guy we saw at the gate?" And they're like, "Yeah, same haircut. It's got to be him." And they are in awe and they are astounded. And Holy Spirit comes to Peter and says, "Preach my word to the Jews here in this temple." And he does so. And people are getting it and they're nodding and it's hitting. And Peter gets arrested. But so many people that day come to know Jesus and to lay their crowns at his feet because they have seen and experienced restoration. And now they want to be a part of it. When physical, mental, emotional, or social restoration happens, it opens the door for spiritual restoration. And restoration ripples out. My last person is Angie. Angie's in the car with her 20-year-old niece. They're driving back from Portland to Salem, Oregon. While Angie is driving, her niece is sharing, and her niece says, "Auntie, I'm really nervous that I might get caught in the same cycles of anger that I see in my family." And so Angie, filled with Holy Spirit, says, "You know what? Let's just take a moment and let's invite God and see what he just wants to say about that." So they sit quietly as she's driving down I-5. Her niece begins to weep. She says, "A memory is coming to mind. I'm 3 years old. I'm in my bedroom, I'm crouched into my bed, and I'm so scared and I can hear my parents fighting." Angie says, okay, I'm going to invite you to do something odd. I want you to go into that moment and I want you to just look around and see if Jesus is anywhere in that scene. She says, okay. Her niece starts crying again. He's there. He's holding me. He's with me. And peace just descends into that car. She says, he's with me. And I think he has always been with me. A month later, her niece comes over for dinner and brings a friend. And her friend is sitting at the dining table and she's sharing some struggles going on in her life. And Angie's niece goes, hey, Auntie, can we do that thing for her that we did in the car where we like listen to God and we see like what he has to say about it? And she just smiles and is like, yeah, we can do that. Restoration ripples out. When you experience restoration, when you experience the peace and the power and the presence of Christ in one area of your life, you want it in all areas of your life. And it creates a momentum that you can't help but want to share with those around you. Acts 4:22 says, everyone is praising God because of what happened to the lame man. When one is lifted up, everyone is lifted up and everybody starts looking up. Because here's the thing, what happens at the gate doesn't stay at the gate. Amen? Yes, what happens at the gate doesn't stay at the gate. So I'm going to say it one more time. What did Jesus mean when he said, go and make disciples? As you go, as you journey about your day, bring my tangible peace, presence, and power to those at the gates and watch Jesus work, because restoration of his beloveds is one of his favorite hobby. Peter and John are showing in this moment that Holy Spirit power and authority, the same power and authority that Jesus possessed, is still active and alive in this ragtag group of followers. And I believe so strongly that that same authority and power is still active today in our church, in the Big C Church. And so how can I equip you and empower you today to do just that, to bring the tangible peace, presence, and power of Christ wherever you go? The first thing I would say is this. Grab a community church resource brochure on the way out. We aren't called to meet every need. We're not equipped to always meet every need. But we are called to lift others towards hope. We're called to have the confidence that we can stop and listen and engage. So grab this. Let this be a little bit of your confidence that you might be able to help somebody towards hope. This brochure is not to put just hand to somebody, but it's meant to help you engage and connect with somebody. All the resources in this brochure are not faith-based, but they are all places of goodwill towards our city and our neighbors. So grab one of these so you're ready for your Rudy moment. Second thing I'd say is process this question in prayer and community. As I go, what are my gates? Identify your gates. Is it the school that you go to every day to drop off your kids? Is it your workplace? Is it Costco? Where's your gates? And then third, build a rhythm of praying. Holy Spirit, how do you want me to bring your peace, presence, and power? Pray it on your way to the gates that you've identified. Pray it over your day and look for the people to be at the gates at the same time that you are there. I believe that as we live in this intentional, unforced way, our lives will answer the call, go and make disciples. I'm going to close in prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Fill us with your heart of restoration. Fill us with your eyes to see the people around us. Fill us with confidence that we have the full Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Fill our hearts, fill our minds, fill our streets, fill our city. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Alliance podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. Salem Alliance is a community of believers located in downtown Salem, Oregon, and we are passionate about our city being a city at peace with God. To experience other messages and discover more about who we are, please visit salemalliance.org or download the Salem Alliance app. And again, thanks for listening.